Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He was praying. And he said to his servant, I want you to go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again. And the same thing happened over and over for seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, I see there's arising a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go say unto Ahab, you better get your chariot ready and go back home, or else the rain is going to stop you. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that while the heavens were black with clouds and wind, that there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he picked up his robe and he ran before Ahab's chariot to the entrance of Jezreel. Just for a few moments, I'm dealing with the subject found in verse 33, look toward the sea. Look toward the sea. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to let your word go forth in love, mercy, truth, demonstration, and power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll never fail to give you all of the praise and all the glory in the mighty, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. Just for a few moments this evening, we're dealing with the subject, look toward the sea. Our text is found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. You know, a lot of times when we read these scriptures about Elijah causing fire to come down from heaven, and we read about the great opposition and the great, there was a challenge that came forth. In our minds, we picture this as lost people versus the people of God, the people of the world. But I got to tell you something. We're going to bring this right where we are right now. This is the church. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, he preached to the church of Thyatira. And he said, you have become a tolerant church. You have not stood for what you should have stood for. You haven't proclaimed what you should have proclaimed. And you've allowed that woman Jezebel to seduce you and to teach you things, to cause you to fornicate, to be intimate with other gods, with other things other than me. And he said in the book of Revelation, I'm going to cast you into a bed of sickness. It doesn't say sickness, but that's what it means in the translation. I'm going to cast you into a bed of sickness. You're going to lose your power. You're going to lose your strength. You're going to lose your influence. And everyone who commits adultery with you and everyone who fornicates with you is going to be cast into great tribulation. There is a people that's going into great tribulation who are in the church. Now, I know some people don't believe that. There's some people believe once you get your name on the dotted line, you're in there for good. Well, you may be in heaven, but you're going to go through something. You may have to go through some things to purge us, because God's coming after a people who love him. So as we see this dilemma, and the Bible plainly tells us in the last days there's going to be a revival, church. He said in the book of Joel, before the moon turns to blood and before the sun turns black as sackcloth, but while all the things, the earth is groaning in travail for the coming of the Lord and the manifestation of the sons of God, he said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your men in authority going to dream a dream. Your young men going to burn with fire with a vision. Out of my spirit, I'm going to pour on the women folk, hallelujah, and they're going to proclaim the word of the Lord. They're going to stand and say, this is what God says about me. Now, I've always said this, and I'm going to go ahead and say it here, that, sociologists have told me that a woman has 40,000 words a day and a man has 10,000 words a day. And I call the woman the secret weapon because, hallelujah, when one man says hallelujah once, a woman says it four times. So she's got four times the praise. And when a man says, get out of here, devil, a woman says, get out of here, devil, get off my home, get off my family, get off my children, get off my money, get off my life. Women, this ought to be the happiest day you've ever lived in. This is a day you take authority over the principalities and the powers of darkness and the rulers of darkness, and God's going to use you to the ultimate. He said this is what's going to happen in the last days. But then he also warns us, and he says there's going to be a spirit of apostasy. And Jesus describes this spirit, and he calls this spirit a great whore. He calls it a whore because she cannot be faithful to one God. She cannot be faithful to one God. She wants to blend in, wants to mix with everything else, wants to be a mixture of many different things, wants to not to be so dogmatic about there's one way Jesus, and there's one way the cross of Christ, and there's one way to salvation. They want to hold off on that one way term and be inclusive and be tolerant of everything. And the Bible calls her the mother of harlots. And the word tells us that while men in authority sleep, that the enemy is going to sow tares among them. So what is happening is in every congregation, even in my own, I hate to tell you, but the spirit of apostasy is in this building, just like it's in the Holiness Church, just like it's in the Catholic Church. There's a revival spirit in here, and there is the spirit of apostasy. There are those that are overwhelmed with this blending spirit. There are those that are overwhelmed, not very many, because they don't stay here too long, but they are here, and I know they're here, and I recognize that spirit. It's a spirit that God says there's going to be a challenge. And the word tells us in the book of Malachi that before that great terrible day of the Lord, before he puts his bloody foot on the Mount of Olives, before that Mount of Olives splits, he said Elijah's coming back. We do know the two witnesses are coming back, but there's also going to be the spirit of Elijah is going to rise up in the church. What is the spirit of Elijah? The spirit of Elijah that says enough is enough. It's time to draw the line. If God be God, serve him. If he's God Almighty, then praise him like he's God. If he's Lord and King of Kings, then praise him as who he is. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, before the rapture of the church, before the coming of Jesus, the spirit of Elijah is going to rise out of America's pulpits and the world pulpits one more time and around the world. And there's going to be those that are going to say, if God be God, serve him. And he says, let the God that answers by fire, let him serve him. I want you to see. You see, Baal got his, or Ahab got his 450 prophets together, got his 400 prophets together, and then 450 that sat at Jezebel's table. Everything looks identical. Both of them have a sacrifice. Both of them have an altar. Both of them, they all look like church. One looks like church, and the other one looks like church. The only difference is Baal's bunch called the sacrifice it. That's because they cannot identify what Elijah's sacrifice is. His sacrifice is called him. You read it. The Bible says him. They laid him on the the altar. But on the other one, they laid it on the altar. And this apostate church has a problem with calling the sacrifice who he is. They have a problem with the blood of the cross, have a problem with identifying who he is. But there's going to be a challenge. And the God that answers by fire, he will be God. I want to announce to you that this apostate spirit hates the fire. I said it hates the fire. It despises the fire. In my 46 years of ministry, in the last 3 years, I have had confrontations with younger generation like I have never had in the 46 years of ministry. I've had them to look me in the eye. Young people that went through Royal Rangers and Missionettes, young people that went to Barberville that were slain in the spirit at our Pentecostal youth camp, young people that our youth conferences spoke in tongues, that were in my house, that had all night prayer meetings. They've come to me in their 22, 23 year old faces and looked me in the eye and said, Pastor Tom, we're not into that stuff anymore. We're not into all of that shoulder shaking, all of that aisle running. We don't want that anymore. You see, the world, the apostate church, has learned how to duplicate our music. They've learned how to duplicate our songs. They've learned how to duplicate our praise. But there's one thing they cannot duplicate, and that is the fire. Because when the fire moves, I'm talking about Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire will make you move. You see, we have a generation that is totally lethargic. You look at them. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just trying to say this is the day and the hour. Not, when I say generation, I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about all people of this generation. It's a lethargic spirit. The fight is not there. The determination's not there. The get to it is not there. When it comes to God, they're lazy. They'll run every day. They'll run 2 or 3 miles. They'll work out at the fitness place. They have no problem pushing those weights. They have no problem water skiing. They have no problem snow skiing. They have no problem dribbling a basketball down the court. But when it comes to the house, there's God, there's no push. There's no push. They'll sit there and wait for somebody to shake them, somebody to stir them, somebody to pick them up. They act like they're totally dead. I'm talking about this generation. I watched this morning as the Spirit of God began to move after John Parrish's preaching. It was so powerful. My mother, 82 years old, got in the spirit without drums, without a choir, without a fog machine, without lights flashing, without anything. It was just her and the fire. The fire. That's what the modern church hates, is the fire. When it comes to spontaneity, they can't stand it, because fire moves and you don't know where it's moving from. Fire will hit back in the corner and it'll make somebody shout. Fire will cause the women in the amen corner to begin to shake their hair down. Fire will cause an elderly man to begin to run. Fire will cause a sinner to cry. Fire will cause a man to repent. Fire! The modern American church wants a controlled environment. They want to sing our songs. They want to play our music. They want to practice our styles of praise. But when the hopping and jumping is over, they want you to sit down, shut up. You hear what I'm talking about? They don't want no spontaneity, no speaking in tongues. That's too weird. I got people that's supposed to be in Pentecostal churches. I was in a meeting one time, and a young man who I preached with, who we had fellowship with, we're both the same age, and we were talking, and he started talking, and somebody said something about a revival, and he went, he said, those days are over. He said, that don't happen. God don't use and don't work in those kind of ways anymore. What's he saying is, we got the sacrifice. We got it. We got it on the altar. We got it where it is. We've learned how to dance like y'all dance. When it's time to dance, then you got to do it like we say do it. Don't do that wild stuff. Just jump when we say jump, twirl when we say twirl, and then sit down and go back home and smoke your pot and drink your liquor and sleep with your girlfriend and do anything you want to do. That is not the fire. I'm telling you, when the fire gets done with you, he'll burn the liquor out of your mouth. He'll burn the vulgarity out of your tongue. When the fire gets done burning, it'll change your wardrobe. It'll change your vocabulary. It'll change your literature. It'll change your music. It'll change your company. It'll change your environment. The apostate church hates the fire. The apostate church hates screaming preachers. The apostate church hates shouting choirs. They hate Pentecostal music. They hate it. Ah, but I'm here to tell you, it's what got us here, and it's what's going to take us home. Whoa, there came a sound. Whoa! Whoa! It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Come on up here, Elijah. It breaks my heart when I've dedicated a baby like this one. And I've been here for 37 years, so I've married parents and dedicated their babies. When I've dedicated them as babies, I've seen them in Royal Rangers. I've seen them at youth camp. I've watched them shake and cry. I blessed them. I've seen the hand of God on their life. But now the apostate spirit has got a hold of them. Now you hear Jezebel has got them fornicating. Fornicating means you can have other loves besides God. No, you can't. You can have no other God but God. You can't love your adultery more than you love God. You can't love your liquor more than you love God. You can't love your fornicating premarital sexual activity more than you love God. You can't love your HBO, Cinemax, and the movie channel more than you love God. You can't love your pornography on your cell phone more than you love God. You can't love your literature more than you love God. He will have no other gods before him. Oh, God. Then they look you in the eye. We're not into that anymore. We're not into that. That's just not us now. We've joined up with the, I'll be back with you in a minute, Elijah. We joined up with the apostate spirit. Yeah. We sing the same songs like y'all. We got the same sacrifice going on. We're dancing around the altar like y'all. We know how to do it. We know how to do it. We do it just like you do. But there's one thing. They can duplicate our sound, our songs, our music, and our action. But they'll never be able to duplicate the fire. And when they walk away, I meet them in a place of business, and they look at me like, uh-oh, here he comes. But they're nice, because they've been on my boat. They've been on my house. They've eaten my good cooking. They know who babied them. They know who took care of them. They know who was good for them, so they're still kind. And I come up, and I love on them. And I love them with everything I can love them with. But then they walk away. And they go their direction because of the deception of this apostate spirit that has come to the world, not just the United States of America. I was in the country. I was in the Bahamas, and I thought, you know, you don't watch. You're on Christian television. You ought to watch it. Now, this was not Daystar Network at this time. I turned on Christian television. And when I did, I heard one of the most famous preachers that exists today. And I'd love to call his name out. Because he's so full of false doctrine, everybody needs to be warned of him. But because that's not ethically right to do, I'm going to shut my mouth on who he is. But I will tell you what he said. He was sitting in an interview, and several pastors, profound pastors, were sitting there. He said, there was a day when we taught people that we need revival, and we had to fast, and we had to pray. But he said, we're under grace. All of those things are works. We don't need the fasting and the prayer. We don't need all of these other things. Sunday should be the Sunday experience, and then let people live the way they want to live. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If all you got is a 50-minute fix on Sunday morning, you haven't got it yet. What I got followed me to school. What I got in the car with me. What I got went to college with me. What I got went to school with me. Everything I had in here, I had outside these doors. You don't clock God in and clock him out. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let the God that answers by fire say it with me. Let him be God. Let the God that answers by fire. Oh, let the God that answers by fire. It's going to hit us in a minute. Let the God that answers by fire. Let the God that answers by fire. Let him be God. I said, let him be God. The God that answers by fire. Because the apostate church hates the fire. I said the apostate church hates the fire because it's the fire that brings conviction. It's the fire that makes you nervous. It's the fire that causes you to know that there's something supernatural happening in the house. If I can do it, it's not worth a dime. But if God does it, it's worth everything. I said God's got to do it. Church is normal has got to go out the door. There must be a supernatural experience with the presence and the fire of God. Well, how did the fire fall? Both of them had churches. Both of them had altars. Both of them had sacrifices. The apostate church called their sacrifice it. You go back and read it. They laid it on the altar. They're ashamed of that name. Whew. I got people used to work around this altar speaking in unknown tongues. You listen to this. Over here in a hospital in Cincinnati, there was a group of Islamics there. And they went over to the Islamics because one of their family relatives was very ill. And they went over and said, are you all here visiting someone? They went to the people of Islam. Are you visiting someone? And they said, yes. And they said, you know, I've got a family member too. Can we all pray? And somebody heard this conversation. I'm talking about somebody used to work in this. This is the spirit of apostasy. Don't you dare let it get a hold of you. And you, 40,000 people watching by internet, don't let it get a hold of you either. And this apostate spirit says we're not to be judgmental. We can't be intolerant. We've got to understand other people have faith too. That's wrong. There's no such thing as Muslim faith and Hindu faith. The Bible said there's one Lord. There's one faith. And there's one baptism. There's one God. 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 One faith, one Lord, one baptism. They all joined together in there. She put their arms around him, said, I know you call him Allah, but we call him Jesus. So you just call on Allah and I'll call on Jesus, and we're going to see how our prayers operate. Well, I'm telling you right now, oh, bless his name forevermore. If you're going to be in that number that no man can number. If you're going to be the one that's going to escape the bed of iniquity, if you're going to be the one that's in the revival church, you better know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the fire is burning at your altar, that there's fire coming on your altar. I'm not talking about emotionalism. They had plenty of that in the apostate church. Why, they danced until they bled. They jumped until they passed out. They had more action than you could ever imagine. They had people flying from the ceiling, had people all kinds of things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something supernatural that gets in the heart of a 15-year-old girl. We're talking about something supernatural. Come here, Caleb. This young man here. We're talking about a boy. You listen to this. Come on up here, Tad. This is what the fire does. Is when a young man that has been molested at 13 years old, sexually molested, and goes through the next 4 years hating God, hating life, raised in this church. It was something that was done that nobody knew was going on. Nobody knew it. It was a secret. It was hid. The predator was hid. Everybody was hid. And he hated God. And he hated everything. But one night, I said one night, it wasn't a fog machine. It wasn't a circus. It wasn't dancing and prancing. It wasn't anything like that. Caleb, fire. Fire. He was suicidal. You hear me? He was suicidal. He hated life. He hated everybody. But this is what fire will do. I said, this is what fire will do. Fire will change it. That's why we've got to have the fire. It's not going to be your assimilation program. It's not going to be all the additives we have. It's not going to be our recreational facility. It's not going to be our ball team. It's not going to be our basketball team. It's going to be fire and nothing but fire. Fire, fire, nothing but fire. You hear, see this little man here? He's a whopper. Yay, Lord. That's old English for yes, Lord. Yay, Lord. Woo. That's what they used to say in the old church. That's why I like to say it every now and then. Yay, Lord. With stepfathers. And one in particular, a wicked old stepfather. He was afraid to get up at night as a child to go to the bathroom. So he'd wet the bed because he knew the stepfather would beat him unmercifully. So the mother got up and she wanted to rescue him before the morning beating. So she went to take the urinated sheets away. The father woke up, caught her doing it, beat him and his mother, rolled them up in the urinated sheets and made them lay there for the rest of the night. That's demonic. This young man ought to be an alcoholic. He ought to be a drug addict. He ought to be a loser. He ought to be backed in the corner telling everybody, look what happened to me. Ah, but something not natural. Not something natural. You hear me? Not something natural. He didn't go to therapy. He didn't go to counseling. He never joined a small group. I thank God for all of those things. But I'm telling you what'll take the devil down, what'll take the powers of darkness down, is when fire, fire. Everybody shout fire. How do you get the fire? First of all, he rebuilt the altar, which is called prayer. High five about five people and say, we need prayer restored. Come on, we need prayer restored. We need prayer restored. We need prayer restored. Come on, say it till you know it. We need prayer restored. Prayer meetings. Prayer meetings at home. prayer meetings before church, prayer meetings after church, family prayer meetings, everywhere you can find. I'm not talking about getting a circle and having group therapy. I'm talking about calling on God. I'm talking about interceding and calling on a name that's above all other names. Then Elijah, he picked up 12 stones, which means the covenant. This Bible's called the Book of the Covenant. It's an old covenant and a new covenant. That's what the Bible is. It's not a book, it is a covenant. It's an old covenant and a new covenant. And you can't have the new without the old, and the old must have the new. Oh, glory to God. There needs to be a restoration of the Word of God, a restoration. I know you people from Jamaica don't have to worry about this, and the rest of you people around the world, but the American church has put the Bible on the shelf and pulled the home economics book out and say, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to teach you how to balance out your expenditures. I've seen it on their billboards. We're going to show you how to balance out your expenditures with your income. Because I've had young couples here that are not serving the Lord now because they wanted to go somewhere and learn how to spend money and save money. Pay tithes, it'll start filling up your wallet quicker than you know what to do with it. I can teach you on a class on biblical principles of prosperity. I can give you personal testimonies. I can tell you how that in 9 years God took my wife and I from nothing to a whole lot of wealth, and it was the glory of God that did it. I believe in biblical prosperity. But do you think I can take 6 Sundays and open up a home economics book, have everybody to sit there and writing down their expenditures and their income, while I got a woman over here that's in a court custody case? I got a child over here that's family is abusive. I got somebody over here, they're addicted to drugs. I got somebody over here that's going through a divorce. I got another family that's going through foreclosure, and I'm up here playing this game with the mind of America so you can get richer and you can have more feathers in your hat, and I'm trying to play on your emotions. I'm not going to do it, brothers and sisters. I am not going to cater what I preach in order for you to become more carnal and more natural. I'm going to preach what God wants and going to say what God wants, and I'm not going to substitute the Bible. For a home economics book. And I'm not going to bring my wife up here and tell you what goes on behind closed doors at the Bates house. Don't fall for all that crazy stuff. We've lost respect for men and women. I was raised with a mother and two ladies for sisters. You hear me? I don't know what it's like to have. I was raised with ladies. And you never said things, any kind of thing that was questionable in front of ladies. Much less getting to church. Talk about your sexual exploits. I know what I'm talking about, brother. That's that apostate church. Do you hear me? They've taken out the altar and talking about. And if I ever deal with marriage, I'll have the men by themselves and the women by themselves. Because if I do it publicly in here, they'll be going down there at the local restaurant and talking about their sexual activity to each other, and that'll open up the door for adultery. You listen to me, and you listen to me good. You young couples, you may call it old-fashioned if you want, but don't you ever sit around with young couples. Don't you ever sit there and talk about what you all do in your bed. Never. Never. The moment you start talking about what you do with your wife, the man that's on the other side of the table want to try it with your wife too. Do you hear me? It opens up the door for adultery. Shut it up. Get away from that apostate spirit. Because the God that answers by fire, He's a God that's motivated by prayer. He's a God that's motivated by the Word. He's a God, hallelujah, that's motivated by sacrifice. Over here at this altar, they called it because they're ashamed to call it him. But the Bible said Elijah laid him on the altar. Now, the people needed rain. You know what rain means, don't you? Blessings. The people need to be blessed with healing, salvation, deliverance, money, homes put back together. They need to be blessed. But you can't have rain without fire. I'm telling you, this spirit of Elijah may cause a little disturbance for a while, but you hold on. We're getting ready to hear something from another world like we've never heard before. We're going to hear something from another world like we've never heard before, because the fire precedes the rain. The fire precedes the rain. The fire precedes the rain. And the Bible said once the fire fell on the altar, once the apostate spirit was dealt with in that situation, then the next thing that happened, he went on top of Mount Carmel. Now, I've been there many, many times. I host trips to Israel, and I've been there many, and some of you are going to get to go with me. It's going to be a wonderful time. But when we get on top of Mount Carmel, when you look towards the sea, you're looking west. You know what that means? When he said look toward the sea, that's the only place that rain came from. That's where it always came from. It was the past. Look where it came from before. Look what God did in the past. Look what God did years ago. Look at what happened before. Look at what happened before. And a lot of times when you start talking about the past, you get these arrogant, new, modern, fangled religious people that'll come up to you like they came up to me. And one of them looked me right in the eye. It was in some type of a department store. And I hadn't seen him in a while. And I said, oh, I haven't seen y'all in a while. I just smiling, being country as I could be. He said, well, you know, we like community. We love the people out there. But I'm just going to have to lay it on the line. I'm really sick and tired of hearing about that chicken house and that barn. I'm sick and tired of hearing about that leaky basement. I don't want to hear about that. I don't go to church to hear about people's history. I go to church to get my faith increased. What is he talking about? He don't even know what he's talking about. He has no idea. I just looked at him. I thought, I can't even deal with that. I can't deal with that. Because when you start looking towards the sea, it might be seven times. There's going to be a lot of criticism going on. I'm sure Ahab said, the man's an idiot. He's an idiot. Look at him. He keeps on looking towards the past where the rain always comes from and nothing's happening. But he said, go back again. 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 In our history, in the 50s, when this poor little church, it was in a tent, and then they cleaned out a chicken house. And if you're watching by internet, my dear friend, here it comes again. Everybody likes a big sanctuary. Everybody likes a big gymnasium. Everybody likes the big fellowship hall. Everybody likes all the success and the prosperity. But I'm going to tell you what, before we ever got there, we were poor. I mean dirt poor. As poor as it gets. Old sister Amanda over here, her great grandparents, they came in a pickup truck, had a mattress in the back of it. And they held us revival when we were poor. And they got those big offerings like $2.35. That's the kind of people that built this church. That's why Elijah went and looked toward the sea. Oh, you hear me? And when the church was about to crumble, and my mother said, she told Daddy, she said, Tom, go to my grandma's house and find Chester and bring Chester here. He's the only one. He's got fire. He'll be able to help us. Our church is falling apart. We're poor. We don't have anything. We's in a chicken house. Then they cleaned out a barn, and that's where Dad got saved, was in the barn, and he kicked up sawdust for an hour saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Do you have it? Do you have it? Are you gonna keep it? I can't live without it. I can't live without it. I gotta have it every day. I'm addicted to it. I'll never leave it. Well, Dad drove up to, he drove up to my great-grandmother's house. And when he got there, he said, I'm here. They said, Tommy, is there something wrong? He said, the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. And Janice sent me up here to get her cousin Chester. Well, they said Chester's moved 14 miles away. And in their Appalachian culture, they use words like, nary one of us been there. And I don't know if you understand that or not. But what they were saying was this. None of us have been to where he lives. We don't know where he lives. And Dad got to walk away. But Chester's mother was a woman of prayer. A woman of sacrifice. A woman of power. A woman of the anointing. She said, Tommy, I don't know where he is, but God knows where he is. God knows where he is. And she said, you get in the car, you do the driving, and I'll do the praying. Now, Dad was raised a good old-fashioned Baptist boy, but he wasn't used to this good holiness way too much. But Aunt Helen got in there. Dad started driving. She started going, oh, Lord, I need you to help me. And probably did some hacking. I need you to help me find Chester. Oh, Tommy, turn to the right. Oh, glory to God. What else do you want me to know, Jesus? Stay on this road. She had her eyes closed. Make a left at the fork, Tommy. Oh, help me, Lord. Before there ever was GPS, do you hear what I'm saying? God knows where you are. He knows who you with. He knows when you get up. He knows when you go to bed. His eyes. She put her head down. She said, I'm not hearing anything. Dad said, you don't have to, because Chester is standing in front of the car. Stand up there. Whoa! What was that? Woo! Hallelujah! Before we redesigned the front of the platform, we used to have an amen corner over here. Had about 40 old-fashioned holiness women up there. Many of them received the Holy Ghost before 1910. You hear me? And one of them was Sister Runyon, Sister Anna Runyon. Oh, but she had a testimony. And she said when Betty was a little girl, Betty was dying. And the doctor came and said, we can't do anything more with her. She'll be gone in the next few hours. And so the doctor left. But it got news in the neighborhood that the doctor had pronounced little Betty dead. So the neighbors started bringing funeral flowers. And they started, bringing food and things to the house that evening, late that evening. And one woman, you always got a nosy neighbor. Well, a nosy neighbor called the police and said, officer, I've got to tell you something. There's some of those fire people, those holy roller people, those Pentecostal people. Their baby died and they got a dead baby in their house, and it's just terrifying that we're living by these kind of people that keep dead people in their house. So the officer, he went over to the house and he knocked on the door, but he didn't know that at midnight that night somebody else knocked on the door. Sister Runyon said the angel of the Lord knocked on the door. I opened the door and the angel said death was here, but I have conquered death. And the angel disappeared. Well, the officer came. He said, Mrs. Runyon, the neighbors have told me that you have a dead child in this house. And she said, well, officer, are you talking about my little Betty? Well, she's out there on the bicycle. Ask her if she's dead or not. Hallelujah! That's what fire will do. We were raised in fire. We've had the fire. We've got the fire. And the fire precedes the rain. The fire precedes the rain. The fire. She said, officer, last night at midnight,
And the angel come and knocked at my door. Betty was taking her last breaths. Angel said death was here. But I conquered death. Sister Gabbard's standing here, 83 years old. We had a visiting pastor that had been on a 14-day fast. He was skinny anyway, but he was a little bit of nothing. His face was pale. It was on a Saturday night. He stopped by and I had him to preach. I'm young, he's young, we're all young. He said, I just come off of a fast. And God spoke to me and said, tonight he's going to open a blinded eye. Well, I was trying my best to put the church had been through troubles, and I was trying my best to patch it all back together. I said, oh Lord, he's going to pull hocus pocus. You know, when the church is in trouble, there's one group that wants it to succeed, another group wants it to fail. It's called Democrats and Republicans. Don't you think that spirit's only in the world? It's right in the house of God. And what that means is if I invite a visitor and something bad happens, it's my poor leadership qualities. And all at once, Democrats or Republicans would go, I told you he don't have enough sense to pass for this church. You know that. He goes, God spoke to me and said he's going to open a blinded eye. I started sinking. I go, here I go again. More fasting and prayer. Sister Gabbards goes, I forgot about her having blinded eye because she's burnt in a fire when she was 3 years old. We didn't notice she had scars all over her face, but everybody that came in seen them. But when you love people, you forget what they look like. And she said, I got a blinded eye. She was 83. I thought, she has lived 80 years with that eye. Now I know you all are full of faith. I was looking at what was going to happen to me. All I could see was pulling out one of the mothers in the church that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1908 in Breathitt County, and she'd say in a blackberry patch. She said, I rolled among those blackberries, and she'd say, I never got a scratch. He said, sister, God's going to open that eye. Everybody knew she got burned in the fire when she was 3 years old. It was nothing but a big gray skin, just gray skin. There was no nothing there, just gray skin. He said, God, you told me you was going to open a blinded eye. Touch our sister. Oh, me of little faith. I'm saying, mercy, Jesus, mercy, mercy, mercy. Let them throw smaller stones this week. Let the stones be smaller. I don't want them to hurt as bad as they hurt last week. About that time, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm looking at the sea. I'm seeing what happened yesterday. I remember that thunderstorm that came. I remember the blinded eye that was healed. I remember Ann Helen's story. I remember Harley Hensley coming off that mountain being healed of cancer. I remember Myra Hendrickson spitting up cancer. Oh God, I'm looking at that sea. I know they're laughing at me, and I keep on looking in the past because that's where the rain comes from. That's where it comes from. That's where it's going to come from again. That's where it's going to happen again. About that time, Sister Gabbard, she began to shake, and the gray skin in front of my eyes came off, and she had a brand new 20/20 eye. Look toward the sea. Look what happened yesterday. And as our brother said so prophetically today, your yesterday is a prophecy for your tomorrow. Let's stand our feet. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Your yesterday is your prophecy
for your tomorrow. If God took care of you yesterday, He's going to take care of you today. I'm not trying to cause people to have contention and strife, but I can't bend and I won't bend. Oh, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place to where the rain was. Brother, they hadn't seen rain in 3.5 years.
Take me back.
It was dry.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first see.
You know the verse?
Lord. Oh, I feel like I'm so far from you, Lord. But still.
The Spirit of God's bidding you, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, a member, a visitor, if the Spirit of God's drawing you, I want you to come to this altar, because God is challenging just some of you to start looking towards everybody. But the Holy Spirit is drawing in this house. Take me back.
Take me back.
I need my elders to start making your way and praying for people. Come on, there's a lot of people need prayer. I need my elders, I need ministers, I need you to help people pray. I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh,
I don't know why He prayed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why He said.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to touch the people of God all around the world that's watching. Everywhere, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to draw us. The fire precedes the rain, and I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. How many can hear the sound of abundance of rain? It's on its way. Keep on looking toward the sea, because what happened yesterday is going to happen again. I said it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Glory. praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
Fire in the Holy Ghost.
With that prayer we are turning,
keeps the fire burning.
It's that kind of experience.
You get me.
It'll make you move, make you
sound,
make you cry.
Be back in the morning at 10 o'clock. Over 40-something thousand people were with us tonight. You heard my message about double partnership. Out of all you 40,000 people, I know there are many of you that are partners. And help us do what we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Keep on looking toward the sea, because what happened yesterday is going to happen again. The rain's going to fall. We love you. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you so much for your prayers. I'll see you in the morning at 10 o'clock.